So first, so let's just, the one question we had hanging was, the Rambam said, when he said in the Sefer Mitzvot, when he formulated this officially, he says, if you cook a pasavachalav together, you get malchus, even though you don't eat it. And similarly, maybe different, that's a good question, but in the Yad, he says, if you eat pasavachalav together, you get malchus, even though you don't cook it. And even though you hadn't cooked it. Because the question is, I mean, sounds like they're related, so there's something going on here. Now, the question is, I mean, they're two different Yisurim. So, what do you mean? Why should I think, for instance, that if I cook Basar V'chalav and I don't eat it, I don't get Malkus? Of course I get Malkus. It's a separate law. So I could, why would I not get Malkus for that? Right? Or the other way also. Why would I think if I ate it and I didn't cook it, I wouldn't get Malkus? What's the difference? The other way also. So it could be like this, is that, that Bishul isn't just Bishul. I mean, no, you're cooking. For instance, a guy's cooking, you say, oh, what are you eating for dinner? You know, like, see, Bishul is, in a sense, it's like part of the process of Achil. Right? It's the first step in the process. You cook and you eat. It's not like, they're not two separate things. Like, you cook and then separately you eat. The beginning, the first step in the process of Achila is Bishul. And that's the Richuk. The Richuk is that the Torah says that not only can you eat it, but you can't, so to speak, involve yourself in the process of Achil. Again, begin the process of achil. Okay, the beginning of the process is being answered. Okay, there's a whole process. You know, the process is you start it, you cook it, and you eat it. So that's what I'm saying, is that you can't, that's the richa. You can't even involve yourself in a process whose end is achil svasav achalav. That's the real. Normally in nevela you don't say that. Nevela is also to eat. You want to cook nevela? As long as you don't eat it, I don't care. I cook normally leads to eating. Fine, whatever. You do whatever you want. You know, you'll feed it to someone else. But Bilasar Bechal, the Torah didn't want to. The Torah assured the process itself. So this process is a process whose goal is Achila. You can't involve yourself in that process. Okay. So if that's the case, so now you have there's two Isurim. There's the Torah assured both steps of the process. Beginning of the process and end of the process. So I might say that you only get Malkus, even though they're two separate Isurim, they're both Asur independently, but I might say that the Malkus, see Malkus sometimes Onesh, sometimes only when the Isur exists in its full form. Okay, so you may think that if you've only done part of the process, even if you only did achila, but you didn't fully involve yourself in the process of achilas v'asav v'chalav, I'd say no malchus. Okay, so if I only cooked, I'd say yeah, it's very nice you cooked, but cooking is only the first step in the process. You didn't complete the process, so I'd say that it's true you're over there, sir, but I'd say no malchus. Or the other way also, you could say I ate it, but in other words, the involvement in the process of achila is not complete. In other words, the full involvement in the process of achila is the cooking and the eating. That's what's teaching you know, is that they're totally separate. And in terms of onesh also, is that they're separate isurim and you have malchus for each one independently. Okay, the fact that there's that it's asur because it's part of the process doesn't affect it in terms of onesh. Okay, so we're ready to start the parak. So it's daf kuf gimel mabez kalabasa. Okay, eighth paragraph. Kol habasar asur levashel b'chalav, chutz mibsar dogim achagal. Okay, so basically this Mishnah is discussing. You have certain halachos regarding meat. Okay, certain halachos regarding meat, and the question is, what is meat? Okay, there are many kinds of meat. There's basar behema, okay, which is like a domesticated animal. There's basar chaya, which is like a wild animal, which could be kosher. There's basar oaf, chicken. There's basar dagim, fish. I mean, basar is flesh, so the flesh of any living animals. You call them all basar in theory. And basar chagavim, which is the grasshoppers, the flesh of grasshoppers. Okay? Locusts, grasshoppers, whatever. Okay? So a lot of types of meat. Now, because, I mean, meat, if you think of meat as like the flesh of a living organism, what's the difference? You know, we don't call grasshoppers meat, but, I mean, vegans probably do. So the question is. Okay, so the question is, so in different, you can have a lot of questions, a lot of isurim with different halachos apply to meat. The question is going to be, what's the scope of meat? What's included? So that's basically what our Mishnah is addressing. It's specifically because of basar v'chalav, but it extends itself also to nedarim. So it says kol basar asur v'asher v'chalav. All meat is asur to cook with milk. Chutz mi basar dagim v'chagav, except for dagim v'chagav, okay, which is fish and the grasshopper. So whether it's a behema, that's domesticated, or chaya, wild animal, or chicken. It's all also to cook with milk. Okay? Except for fish and fish and grasshoppers. Okay? Fine. No problem. We don't have a problem with that, right? Any problems?
The two that
aren't good. Yes, ma'am. All right. Ma'am. I mean, that, this itself is a machlokas. I mean, we're going to get to it. It's a machlokas, I think, kofi gimel or something like that. Yeah, you're a Rashi reference. You're Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Even the Torah says the gedi, which is a behema, hu hadin l'chayvav. Same halacha applies to chayanav. Okay. U'miflag pligi balakaman. Ikal amad amar deraisa v'ikal amad amar derabanan. So it's a machlokas later on whether these other things chayanav or deraisa derabanan. Okay. We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that machlokas.
Chayanav.
What? Chayanav. Yes. Chayanav. There's three shitas actually. One says. Only once they're both derban, once is only one of them is derban. Chaya is worse enough. Yeah, we'll get to
both
it. Yeah, there are three shittas like that. Both deraisa, both derbanan, or split. I think that's okay.
And there's no fourth. In one saying one
derban. I don't think so. No. Okay, so that's that. Then it says ve'aser lahalos im hagvina al hashulchan chutz mibsar dagum hachagav. So now we got a new esar which we didn't know about yet, right? Because so far we were studying the deraisas. Here's our first derabanan. Okay, and Issa Durabanan to put meat and milk on the table together. Okay, you can't put meat and milk on the table together. Okay? And to what meat and milk does this apply? So it's saying the same thing. The all meat and milk, except for Dagan Chagavim, the same meat which is included in the Issa Bishul.
Right.
Okay. And let's just finish the Mishnah. Okay, then we'll get to the Rashi there. And then it says Hanodar Min Habas, so let's say make an Eder. Make an edder, I'm not going to eat basar. So now what happens? So which basar? It says mutter, basar, dagan, chagavim. Same thing. Mutter, basar, dagan, chagavim. Okay, presumably a basar and all the other stuff. Okay? Fine. So let's see. Also ha'ala. So the question is, what's this isser ha'ala? Okay, ha'ala is to bring on the table. What's the isser ha'ala? Where does it come from? Why is it asar, right? Torah doesn't say, there's no isser in Torah like that. It's also to eat it, to cook it, and to have hana. Right? Ah. So Rashi says, dilma asi lemechlinhu ki hadadi. Okay, because I may come to eat them together. Dekanagi ubali mehadadi, because they may touch and absorb from one another. Okay, if they're hot, then they could absorb from one another. Okay, if they're hot, then they could absorb from one another because heat the hot thing transfer to the tom or whatever. So
even if it's cold, it couldn't some rub off on.
So it could rub off, but it seems like Rashi's saying blias. You know, he's saying ubali mehadadi, which means they absorb. So it's saying it's possible it'll come. Maybe you'll come to end up eating them together in that manner. Okay, so that's why it's also to put on the table, because if you put it on the table, you may end up, they may end up touching and absorbing from one another, and therefore then you'd be eating basar v'chalav. Okay, so that's fine. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. V'af agav shemutter lechol basar achar gvina k'demrina megemara. Even though it's mutter to eat meat after cheese, as the Gemara says. Okay, because well, it's just. What's he referring to? He's referring to this because the question is waiting, right? In other words, if you have meat, you're not allowed to eat milk for, let's say, 6 hours. Okay, simple option. Let's say 6 hours, okay? So if you have meat, you're not allowed to eat milk for 6 hours. But if you have milk, you're allowed to eat meat. So he's saying, even this is the case, even though if you have cheese, you're allowed to have meat.
Well, it's not comparable. You're eating them together in this case.
Yeah, the question is, what's Rashi getting
at? Meat and milk on the table.
Right, so you can have meat and milk on the table and eat the milk and then eat the meat. So he's saying, it sounds like that's what he's saying, is that don't think, see, because I guess this is, I think, pshat, right? Jeremy, that's what you're getting at. I think pshat is, he's saying, you might think that why can't you put them on the table? I'll tell you why, because you're not allowed to eat them. Because what are you going to do? You can eat the meat and then you're not allowed to eat the milk. So therefore, somehow you can't put them on the table because you're not allowed to eat them both. So you can't put them on the table, which we have to explain. But it's saying it's not true. You could eat them both. Because if you eat them in
the right order,
if you have the milk and then the meat, you could eat them. So don't think, it sounds like Rashi is explaining, don't think it's because of that. Because that might be the normal way to understand it. You would have thought the reason why you can't bring them on the table is because, yeah, what's the point? You bring them both on the table because you're going to eat one, then you're going to eat the other. But that's awesome. But he says that's not true. It's not awesome. It depends on the order. So who's to say I'm going to eat it in the wrong order? I'll eat it in the right order. So he's saying that can't be the reason for the Isser. Okay, so therefore he says it has to be not because of that, but it's because of this touching problem. Okay, because they're going to join together.
Meeting together.
Eating them together. Exactly.
Is that a different answer?
We have to explain. So what do we have to explain? So what do we have to explain here? Well, fine. That's what Rashi says. So what do we have to explain? Is there anything to define here? But Rashi's explaining here. I mean, what Rashi's doing here is explaining to you the Yisra Ha'ala. Right? Explaining to you the Yisra Ha'ala what you may have thought it was. Right? And then he's explaining to you what it actually is. Right?
Right.
So why don't we define those? I mean, why don't we define what was he thinking the Yisra Ha'ala was? Right, according to that original way, that it was because, right, practically, it was because you can eat them, and you're not allowed to eat them, you're not allowed to make that milk. But he says, no, factually, that would be good conceptually, it seems, but the problem is that factually it doesn't work out, because you could always eat the milk and then eat the meat, so that can't be the reason why it's also, right, but there was a concept there. There was a concept that he would have thought. Apparently that's what was his first thought. That's what he would have thought. But since you can't do that, therefore you have to introduce this other concept that maybe they're going to touch each other. So maybe we should define how would we define the Darabanan if it were that other way, and then what is the actual definition for the Darabanan, you know what I mean? Okay, so let's focus. So let's say, so let's start with the first way. Okay? So the first way is the way he would have understood the Gzeira. Let's assume, in fact, the facts were they're not allowed to eat meat then milk or milk then meat. Okay, right? Because that's why, in fact, you can't say that that's the way to understand it. But if that were the case, if factually that were the case, that you can't eat them in either order, then he would have explained the Gzeira that way, right? So then, what would the Gzeira, how would he define the Gzeira? Yeah, but I'm not eating meat then milk. I'm not eating milk then meat. I'm just putting them on the table together. Right? So how would you understand what's the Gzeira? If that were the case, if that was the way to understand the Gzeira, how do you understand? All right, that's basically what he sounds like. Okay. So I think that's good. That's what the guys are saying, is that. Because a shulchan, what's a shulchan? Shulchan is the table of the meal. I mean, everything on the shulchan is all made l'achila. Well, what's it doing on the table? The table isn't just your hall table, it's the meal. So the table is the holder of the meal. Of what you're going to eat. It's omeid l'achila. Everything on the table is omeid l'achila. That's the idea of the table. So especially their tables was mamasha, like these little things that they had on their laps. Right? But whatever, even on our table.
We're not to that yet. Hold on one second.
So therefore, since that's the idea of it, that's what the table is basically omeid l'achila. So he's saying that since there's an isser of eating basar then chalav, or chalav then basar, so they said you can't create a situation where you're omeid to eat basar then chalav. I mean, that's a good notice. There's an isser to eat basar then chalav, right? So I would say that you can't create a set of the isser of ha'ala means you're creating a situation where you're only made to eat basar then chalav, which is, that's what's going to happen. It's on the table, it means you're going to eat it. That's the idea of the table. So it's creating, not only is it also to eat basar then chalav, it's also to create a situation whose definition is it's ready to eat basar then chalav. Okay, that's because that's what the shulchan is. It says omid l'achil. So that's the way I would have understood it. The problem is that it's not true because I'm allowed to eat chalav then basar. So what do you say? The shulchan, if I put meat and milk on the table, it's omid to eat meat then milk. It's not true. Maybe it's omid to eat milk then meat. There's no order on the table, so therefore it doesn't work out factually. That's the simple way to understand it. So that's a simple way you would have understood the Yisra Ha'ala, but it's not true. It can't work out. Because since, in fact, you could eat milk and then meat, so therefore I'm putting it on the table. It's all made to eat, but in what order? So you can't tell me it's a situation of eating, it's a situation of Yisra. It's not. Because if you're choshed me, maybe it is, but I'm doing a perfectly fine thing. So therefore, Rashi is saying that can't be the way. It can't be the understanding of the Yisra. So therefore, what does he say? He says the Yisra is... because maybe they're going to touch, and they're going to absorb. Maybe you can eat them together. How are you going to eat them together? Because they're going to absorb from each other, and then you're going to eat it, so you're going to be over bus of a half. Okay, so how do we understand that question? That's a very good question. So he'll ask a good question. So the thing is it usur, for instance, to put them down on the floor next to each other, or to put them on the counter next to each other, or is it usur to keep them in the same room? Right, so that's your question.
It was at the table.
It seems like it's only on the shulchan, right? It doesn't seem like, if I wanted to put them on the chair together, it doesn't seem like there's a problem. Right. But it seems in terms of touching, is there any difference in terms of touching, whether it's on the floor or on the table, or if it's somewhere else? And then they even say you're allowed to even put it on, like, the side table. Like, they had a table, and there's the table which they used to take things from the side table to the serving table to the main
buffet
table. Yeah, the buffet table. I think they say you're allowed to put it on the buffet table. I forgot where I saw that. I think so. But you're right, that's a very good question. So I mean, what's the Isser? So you can maybe if it were the other way, right? If it were the other way, that it's because it's Omei L'Achila, I'll say the floor, it's not Omei L'Achila. But now you're telling me it's just a practical thing, because they're going to touch each other and absorb. So what's the difference if it's a table or if it's anywhere else? Good question.
Okay. You're positive. Okay.
So I'll say it like this, that they're not worried. It's not worried. It's not the Gezerah. It's not Pshat that they're worried that if there are certain proximity, then they're going to come to touch. Like if they're very close, then they're going to get very, very close, and then super close, and then they're going to actually touch. You know, I don't think he's worried about that. Like I don't think it's like a it's a totally practical closeness that he's worried about. Because again, a table could be a big table. You know, you could have a big table, and you could have a small, chair. And it'll be also to put it on the table, and the mutter to put it on the chair next to each other. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's because no, because they're next. Just because they're next to each other doesn't mean they're going to touch. Like if I put two things down next to each other, so they're next to each other. So why are they going to touch? Who's touching? And they're not shaking the table and moving it around. You know? So why is it? What's the tzirif? Why is there a problem? You know I mean, they're two separate things. They're next to each other. Why am I worried about that? See, but it could be that. See, a table isn't just a physical holder of items. Like, a table is... Okay. A table is like a seuda. I mean, the table is like the holder of a seuda. Right? That's what the table is. A table contains a meal. You know, in a meal, everything in a meal is really, you know, is related. You know what I mean? What's for a dinner, you know? Like, the whole dinner is dinner, you know? It's not just like it's not just a bunch of separate items, but it's not just a physical thing. The table embodies the su'uda. You know, it contains su'uda. So it is the physical embodiment of the unit of su'uda. So therefore, when I put two things on the table, I'm involving them in a joint su'uda. And in a seuda, the different parts of the seuda have a relationship to each other. I mix things, I eat them together. It's not just like if I put two things on a table on my counter in my hallway. So I take one today, I take the next one tomorrow. It'll mix things. They have nothing to do with one another. They just happen to be physically next to each other. But a seuda, a shulchan, and a seuda, a shulchan is all made for an involvement, and it's an involvement which jointly relates to all the things which are on the seuda. So therefore, that's a conceptual framework which relates the Basar and the Chalav. It's not only because physically they're next to each other, but because it has an activity which corresponds to it. Shulchan and Seuda is an activity which corresponds to it. And that activity is an activity in which things get mixed together and they become close to each other. So therefore, that is a situation in which they're conceptually mitzurafim. They're together. I'm relating them together. And that type of a relationship is going to lead to them physically touching and absorbing from each other. It's not just because physically they're close. It's conceptually they become involved in one activity, and that's why they're going to end up touching and absorbing. Rashi and the Mishnah. So let's just finish Rashi and the Mishnah. So we're just going to finish Rashi and the Mishnah. So Hanoder min HaBasar. So it says, Kol Hanoder. Okay, we're going to get into this Nedarim stuff a little bit, okay? Not yet, but we're going to get into it soon. It says anyone who makes a neder, in date light or lachavash b'neyadim. Okay, so we should kore shem adavarkach. See, there's an interesting thing. In nedarim, the basic principle is if I make a neder, so you can make a neder on anything. So the categories are determined by me. So if I just say I'm not going to eat meat, it's not like the Torah tells me what meat is. Meat is. What do people mean by meat? Because that's ultimately what we're after. What does the guy mean? So there's something lachavash b'neyadim, which means how do people usually use the term? So when meat is used, what do they mean? Do they mean chicken? Do they mean chaya? Do they mean dagon chagavim? So it says, "V'ashmeinu mas nisan the kol min basar adam koreya basar chutz m'basar dagon chagavim." So our Mishnah is teaching us that when a person says meat, he means all meats except for dagon chagavim.